They were the Greenville Warriors, were the minor league team for the Rangers, and they actually have the Rangers logo with the Warriors over across it. It's actually pretty cool.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the I Tap That Cigar Show, presented by Corona Cigar. I'm your host, Kevin, from Cigar Prop, and I'm coming to you live from the Drew Estate Experience Acid Studios here on the sunny Gulf Coast of Florida. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Cara Viajante of Stogie Road Cigars.
What is going on, Kevin? How the hell are you?
Not too bad. This is the I Tap That Hockey Show tonight. That's all we've been talking about behind the scenes. So, yeah,
I'm excited about tonight's guest.
I am too. It's rare that I like know zero about a guest. And that's always the fun of finding out those tidbits of knowledge about someone. Cause I'm a story guy. I love, like I said, when I go to a cigar lounge, like, man, I just ask questions. I want to know about doesn't make any difference if you're a landscaper. If you're a plumber, I want to know everything about you. I'm just that kind of
You don't ask me those questions.
I know everything there is to know about you, Cara.
Is that what it is?
It is. I tell that to Jessica all the time, and she'll say something. She's like, you don't know me. I go, I know you better than you know you. I know you. And I have proven that many times.
I know so, you.
Yeah.
I played some basketball this weekend.
I was just going to say, how are you feeling? You played some basketball with some children this week, or some teenagers.
Teenagers, 18, 15. You know, my son Wyatt's my height. My son Joe's he's shorter, but a little, like, you know, crackhead, you know, but
toothpicky. Yeah.
Well, but they insisted that 2-on-1, like, I was like, I could beat you guys 2-on-1. There's no doubt in my mind I could beat you guys 2-on-1.
Yeah.
I'm fatting out of shape, and I haven't, you know. And I lost. We played to 15 by one, make it take it. Then there was a 2-point line. And up until the very last part of the game, I was up big. And then Wyatt decided to find his Larry Bird freaking form and sank like 4 2-points in a row. And I was like, I was kind of tired. But they ended up winning 15-13. So if a fat old man can score 13 points on two young teenagers, I said to Joe, I said, are you really proud of that? And he said, win's a win.
Yeah.
And I said, I said, well, then how do you explain it to your friends? He goes, I just don't give the details.
Yeah, that's it. W is a W, baby.
That's what it is. Yeah, I'm feeling a little stiff.
Yeah.
And then my brother-in-law and I then took him on and just wiped him up. It was like, it's 15-0 both games, but once you give me a partner, like a teammate, then forget it.
Yeah,
that's it.
What are you sipping on there, Cara? What's gotten in that glass?
I got some Blackened.
Oh, the M81 Blackened,
bourbon.
Yeah.
Bourbon. I'm gonna pair that with the cigars tonight. I'm hoping that this will also kind of oil the joints a little bit because my muscles aren't sore.
Yeah,
it's my ankles, the feet, and the knees.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Mine is I've been noticing it at work on doing a couple of jobs, shoulders, like show, you know, so that it's like, man, I've had to give up a couple of jobs. And I'm like, I remember the last two times I did that, my shoulders hurt for a couple of days. So, yeah, that's getting old. We're just like falling apart here.
It is.
So, all right. I need. We need a cigar.
Yeah, we do. We definitely need a cigar. What are you smoking? What are you going to be smoking tonight, Kev?
I am smoking from Lampert Cigars, the Ocean Breeze. I think this is my fifth or sixth one in like 2 days. I mean, this is, and I said, and we aren't one of those shows. If you've ever watched an episode of the show or listened to it on the podcast, we're not those guys. We're not those guys that every week they say, oh, this is the best cigar I ever smoked. And then the next week it's from the next manufacturer says the same thing. We don't say that.
This
cigar is crazy. This cigar is crazy good.
Yeah. I'm going to be smoking the, the Edición Azul. So since you got your cigar, I got my cigar. Let's get right into the Cigar Medics Humidimeter Cut and Light. And remember one thing with the Cigar Medics Humidimeter, you will always know when to hold them. You will always know when to smoke them. Kev, where are you, my friend?
I am good. I'm right at 60%. So, my sweet spot, 60, 62, 64%. So I'm golden.
I'm 61.
Oh, right on.
So I'm going to be smoking this bad boy tonight. This is the...
Yeah, I smoked that. Great. Good cigar. Yep.
The box. Real. I'll tell you what. I smoked both of them, Kev. And like you said, this is the one that you're smoking tonight.
Yeah, the Ocean Breeze. The Ocean
Breeze. I like these little boxes like that. It's the Ocean Breeze. Yeah, these were... He's a good cigar, man. These are really, really good cigars.
Yeah, they're quite. I think the first night I smoked them, and I smoked two of them back to back.
When
I
we were messaging each other.
Yeah,
and you're like, yeah, you said, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm gonna go smoke the other one. I said, I'm waiting for the morning, and I had the Ocean Breeze in the morning, and I was like, God dang it, Kevin, you're right. I think that one you smoke one, it's fantastic. You smoke the other one, it's like. That was just as fantastic, if not better.
That's it. So everybody, stay tuned in the end of the show because we are giving away a 5-pack of cigars, a couple of each of what Karen and I is our smoking. So, all right. Anything else? Any other housekeeping? Anything? Let's talk about the. Let's bring up the. Is the Lego thing up here, or did you not put that up there before?
No, I put it up. I was gonna talk. It was up there.
Okay.
Unless we did you delete it?
Oh no, there it is.
There it is. So we've been asking everybody to that we're doing a drive here for the Prisma Pediatric and Adolescent Cancer Award. That is where Joseph was treated. Our son Joseph is a cancer survivor, leukemia survivor. Over the next 2 months, we're going to be collecting donations and Lego. So you can either hit the QR code or the Amazon direct link and order a Lego set. It will be delivered to Jennifer and us. And then in April, we are going to deliver it to the floor. We were told the floor has 50 beds, I believe. They have, I think, close to 200 kids that they're treating. So the prices we picked out the Legos that you could select. So it's kind of like a registry, right? So the Legos are anywhere from $50 to $200. So if you're really generous and you want to buy some ridiculously big freaking Lego set, you can do it. But if you want to spend $15 instead of buying $15 worth of cigars and put a smile on a kid's face who's battling cancer, who escapes from the throat from the daily stressors and treatments, give him a Lego set. Let him put some Legos together. Joseph really was very therapeutic for him. So we appreciate all and any and all donations.
So yeah, right on. I remember as a kid addicted to Legos. And then for Christmas, we went over to my daughter's house and she got her uncle the Lego DeLorean. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. She's like, what? And I'm like, that's what I wanted. And I go, now I got to go out and buy it myself. I was hoping someone would get it to me because it's like $200 or something. So she got,
Legos. We got Legos. Yeah. We give each other Legos every Christmas. I mean, we've never outgrown them. Me, Jennifer, Joseph, White. I mean, we love Legos. I think for me, it's fun. It's a little bit of escape, but I'll tell you what, watching Joe put them together when he was going through treatment and watching him play and putting things together, it is very therapeutic. So please hop on and contribute today.
Right on. And then as I play our opener, if you want to put that in the comment section so people have a clickable link. And before we bring on our guest tonight, we want to take a moment to thank all of our show partners for making this happen each and every week. We really, really can't do it without them. Thank you to JC Newman Cigars, Cigar Medics, Amendola Cigars, We Are the Muscle, Illusione Cigars, Deep in Flavor, Deep in Your Mind, Corona Cigar, and of course, Drew Estate and Experience Acid. So waiting patiently in the Experience Acid Green Room is Andrew Rock, the National Sales Director of Lampert Cigars. What's going on, Andrew?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Here we are. Oh, not too bad. Yeah, I thought maybe like your sound cut out. I'm like, of course, we've heard you. Everything's working fine. And then, but yeah, no, we got you now.
I have been having a couple of little issues, just it's been a little spotty. We'll see how it goes. If need be, I will move inside.
Okay, not a problem. Speaking of inside out, where is inside? Where is this beautiful back porch?
So I am here in scenic St. Louis, Missouri. I've been here for going on 15 years now in the beautiful Midwest where Turner and the weather will change.
How many times have you been to the Arch? You ever go to that thing? Isn't that in St. Louis, the Arch?
Yeah, you know, funnily enough, it is. So they've done a bunch of work down there. It's a big national park and everything. I took my kid down there. I figured we'd go up, but no, he was way more enthused with throwing rocks into the Mississippi River. So he takes after his father.
Because years ago, my wife was born in New Jersey, grew up New Jersey, New York. We went up there a couple of years ago, and I'm like, I want to see a Statue of Liberty. And she's like, yeah, I've been here like once when I was a kid. I go, what, the Statue of Liberty? Why, you know, yeah. But it's the same thing when people come, you know, oh, you're in Florida. You're only a couple hours from Disney. You must be there all the time.
Nah.
No, I haven't been there in 20 years.
Yeah. Right?
Same thing. Right. But yeah. So one day I'll get to the Arch, you know, on my bucket list.
Have you ever, you know, been up in a tall building, you could replicate it pretty simply.
Yeah. Plus, I want to try my St. Louis barbecue. I've never been to Kansas, St. Louis. Some barbecue plate. You know, I want to try. You know, so St. Louis is one of those things. I think
we got them.
You guys are known for your dry rub, aren't you? St. Louis is that Kansas? Who knows?
That's Kansas. Yeah, that's Kansas. Okay. So it's more sauced up here.
Okay, blasphemy, dry rub. But all right, so. Like we were talking about behind the scenes, like I said, you've only given one interview, no personal details about your life in that interview. So, all I know about you, you grew up in Leicester in the UK, moved to the US as a teenager, and you were in the entertainment industry. That's all I know. So we're going to start off with your lack of an accent. Were you born in Leicester?
I've been here a long time. I was, yeah. I lived there for quite a while, but I lived here for a long time. I spent summers here, right here in the Midwest. Actually, this is where my family's from. So,
how did you get? So, if your family's from there, how did you end up in the UK?
That's where my dad's from.
Oh, your dad's from the UK.
So, dad's from London. Dad's from London. My mother's from right here.
Okay, so how'd your mom and dad meet? Yeah.
You know, he was hitchhiking and here in the U.S. after he got out of the army. And somehow or another, they ended up meeting at some party. And the story being that, you know, it was some fancy dress thing or something, you know, and she thought that was his costume. And no, it turns out that's just how he dressed every day because he was fucking hitchhiking and it had about $8 to his name.
That's great.
Okay. So they got married and then moved to the UK and then how old were you when you came back?
Or when you came here, back? Came here, I was a teenager, yeah. So I would have been 15 or 16, 16. And I spent all my summers here too, you know, my grandparents lived here, my uncle lives here right here in St. Louis. So I was here all the time. You know, they both worked full-time jobs, so it was kind of necessary to send me packing for those 3-month vacations.
Okay. So did you ever have even like as a small child, did you ever have an accent, you know, growing
up? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, absolutely. And where it gets you is, I mean, I can flip it right now, but where it gets you is every time you go fucking Hardee's or something, you know, you're just pumping gas or doing something like, oh, where are you from? Tell me your whole life story. Fuck off. I just want a cheeseburger. You know, just leave me.
Yeah. Back.
So it's much easier to just slip into that, yeah, simple Midwest, of course. Please leave me alone, man.
Yeah. That's a true American. Please just leave me alone. So
you think being in sales, I'd be better at talking to people.
The best sales guy. What do you want? I just want to be left alone. This is your event, sir. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. I just want a hamburger and a cigar, please. That's all I want.
I've been to those events though, where it's kind of a smaller event, and then you know, the broker or the rep is there, and they end up just come sit next to me all night, and you know, I'm like, whatever, you know, slow event, whatever. Now and then they'd get up and help somebody. So, coming back and forth from the UK to the States here, when you were, you know, younger. Talk about food, you know, what was like when you're in the UK all year long and then summertime's coming up, like what was like, was there food or things like, oh my God, I can't wait to get back to St. Louis try.
Yeah. An actual decent cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Talking about cheeseburgers. God. Yeah. Yeah. You get off the plane. You're like, all right, where do you want to go? I just want a cheeseburger and a milkshake because the rest of the world doesn't know how to do it.
That blows me away.
Melty American cheese, please.
You know that blows me away that you, because I watch a lot of those TikTok videos with people in other countries trying American food for the first time, or Irish trying Australian and whatnot. But then it's like it's cheeseburgers that come up, and I'm like, you know, it's just meat and buns. I mean, it's not that hard to make. How has no other country can make a decent, that's what everybody says. Nobody makes burgers like Americans do. I'm like, it's just meat, man. Just meat.
It's either overcomplicated with 18 different things on it, or it's just super two bland. Pieces of dry white bread with some unseasoned beef. I'm like, oh God, no, please take it away.
You hamburger, right?
You are right, because I've seen Gordon Ramsay on how he makes he does overcomplicate his burgers sometimes with all the mixtures of the meats and everything else. So
that's probably
what it is. They're just overcomplicating it. So what about
a cow vice that's never seen a blade of grass?
Yeah. Yeah, just hovering in midair. Jessica, she's one of the managers of Corona Cigar in Sarasota. Jeff owns the FSG farm in Claremont, which he grows tobacco, but he also has cattle as well. And they get the meat slaughtered and they have fresh meat, and he sells cows and he sells beef. And then they had an employee appreciation day a couple weeks ago, and he brought fresh burgers and everything else. And there's making for the employees, and she brought me a burger home, but I showed it to my boss and I'm like, you guys appreciate me with a pizza. Jessica's boss killed a cow and served it to them. Be more like Jessica's boss next time. So
there was full-scale slaughter involved in this appreciation.
Do you really want to do your work slaughtering cows and making your burger, Kev? Do you really trust them to get it right?
No. They, you know, sometimes they can't get an oil change done right, let alone slaughtering. You know, so, yeah, not happening. So what about vice versa? So it's the end of the summer. You're getting, you know, was there always an excitement to go back home to the UK, or was there always like, I want to stay here? You know, was there an excitement, and was there a food that you couldn't wait to get back used to? It was like figgy pudding or whatever the hell it is that they ate. I don't know.
Figgy pudding.
And the national dish is curry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Figgy pudding. Oh yeah. Where I grew up is very. There was a lot of immigration in the 60s and 70s from India, and so some of the best curry houses in the world, man.
Yeah, I go to my.
That's hard to find, especially here in the Midwest.
It's hard to find. I mean, I'm you know, I've only had curry a few times. Our local Irish pub, they always have a curry of the day or curry of the week. The Irish love their curry, you know, love as well.
Oh yeah,
So they always have a. Like I said, it's either of the day or of the week, you know. So they're big on curry. So other than that, is that you know. Any other foods, drinks?
I mean, you know, decent beer that isn't served at 33 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Something that sticks to the side of the glass, you know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was always popular, especially as a teenager.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's it. So when were you, so I can get a timeline. When were you born? How old are you?
35.
35. Okay. So you're the, I'm 40. I'll be 46. Care's older than that. So, all right. So yeah. I was trying to be polite.
Care spins right over me. Yeah.
Care's just
older than that. I just look like shit.
Yeah.
Care's between the ages of 46 and 100.
Yeah. I love cause the photo you have right now, like, cause it's kind of a grainy image. That's the same image you have on the Lampert website. And Stefan's picture isn't a whole lot better. I'm like, I mean, it's a beautiful website. Everything's intuitive, drop downs. Everything is super nice until you get to the meet our team. And you're like, what is this going on with these photos? So maybe you guys go down to the old JCPenney, get the.
He called me up and said, "Can you please send me a picture for the website?" I said, "Sure. I'll have someone take one." You know, a good guy that works for me, Oliver Mueller, broker in the Midwest. He's a professional photographer too. I'm like, "I'll get Oliver to do it." He goes, "Well, I need it today." I'm like, "All right, fine. I'll send you one." And, you know, that picture was taken with like an iPhone 6 at a baseball game about 7 years ago.
I was the only one I could find
of me just smiling.
I was gonna interrupt you and be like, your buddy's a professional photographer and that's what he took. He should get a new job, you know, if that was the if you thank God,
he'd have been a much better
job. Yeah, thank God he didn't I didn't interrupt your story there. I'm assuming, like I said, since your dad lots of family still over in the UK, do you ever get back over there?
Oh yeah, all the time, at least once a year.
Okay. So always, I would say always during the summertime, but isn't it always cold over there in London? Cold and rainy. Everything I know is from Mary Poppins. So you gotta cut me some slack.
That and the
rainy, yes.
Figgy pudding.
A lot of moisture.
Yeah. All right. So so we got. I don't even know. I think that was an AC/DC thing, wasn't it? Figgy pudding. I don't even know where.
No, that's the that's a Christmas song, right? Bring me some figgy pudding.
Maybe that's what it. Yeah, maybe
I think they say. I think the most common way you hear it is with an English accent, so that's probably why you think that. But I don't know.
Oh, okay. So you come back over here for full time. You're a teenager, St. Louis, like, how was the transition for schooling? Because I know schooling is different. You guys use, you know, the metric system over here. We use freedom units over here. Any other transitional things you had to get used to, like as in schooling?
No, it was great. I skipped ahead like 2 grades.
thank you very much. Yeah,
that was nice.
Our wonderful school system. You know, so.
Wow.
I didn't say that.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I do wish we'd switch to the metric system. I'm getting tired of measuring things and trying to figure out what half of 12 and 5/8 is, you know, without getting my phone out, you know, so.
Well, I have like an eighth of a pack of water here.
Yeah. I remember seeing some Facebook memes, and it was from other countries, and it was like, you know, how Americans measure things, and it's like, you know, whatever, how many Statue of Liberty's tall or how many elephants. It's like they will do everything to get out of using the metric system at all over here. And I'm like, yeah, that's right, you know. And the one guy I watched, and he was blown away because distance, Americans don't measure distance in miles. We measure it in time. So like how far away do you live? I don't know, like 20 minutes from that guy. Well, I don't know what that means. 20. Yeah.
I was trying to explain this to Stefan, the owner of the company, just today. We were having a conversation just 3 hours ago, and he was talking about shipping our booth from, you know, from the trade show in Vegas to Richmond, Virginia. And he goes, well, that can't be that far. And I said, Stefan, it's like from my house to Richmond, Virginia, and it's about an 18-hour drive from my house to Vegas. So put them together, you know, and you're talking, it's like a solid 28 hours of driving, whatever, 30 hours of driving. And he goes, really? But this is as far as like Spain to Russia. And I said, yeah, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's it. You know, that was another video I was watching. Is like Americans versus, this is a guy from the UK. Like Americans will drive, which I'm not the same with Care. Me and Care are the same. They'll drive 3 hours just to go see a friend, just to hang out somewhere. And he's like, for us, that's like, oh, yeah, whatever. UK to like to Scotland or whatever is like, no, that's like a once a year trip. We would never drive that far to see a friend. And I go, yeah, I do that all the time.
That's a day trip. Yeah, 3 hours one way is a day trip.
Yeah.
Oh, easy. I can remember when I was a kid driving down to London, and it was exactly 100 miles exactly between where I grew up and I think when we'd be driving to like go on a trip or something to Heathrow Airport. Okay. And so, you know, you'd see on the side of the highway, 100 miles. I just drove down to southeastern Tennessee. So I drove from St. Louis to Chattanooga, which is like 440 miles, something like that. And I happened to, my dad called me on WhatsApp. He's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm driving down, you know, oh, I just passed into Georgia. And he's like, Georgia, that's a long way from you. And, you know, we're going back and forth about it. He goes, oh, did you stop on the way? I'm like, what do you, well, yeah, of course I stopped to, you know, to eat, get fuel and everything. He goes, oh, no, I meant for the night. I'm like, seriously?
Oh, my God. Yeah. No.
No, Dad, I did not.
Yeah, we stopped over the 2 hour mark and then just spent the night. And then we're going to give it a go first thing in the morning. But,
finish off the last hour.
Yeah. Like, no, dude, I'm driving back tomorrow.
But yeah, dude, just listen, and it's just insane. Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, when I first started watching a lot of those videos, I didn't realize. I mean, you look on a map and of wherever in the world, and you don't realize how many, when you're in the UK, like how many countries, like literally from like Spain to Russia, you know, that you can drive through in like a 6 hour time frame. And here, if you live at the bottom of Florida in Miami, you drive 6 hours, you're not out of Florida, you know? So yeah, you're still in, yeah. What's the deal with the baked beans for breakfast? Yeah. Yeah. Beans with everything. I just watched a, yeah, I do. I like beans on everything. I just watched how, the whole thing, how beans were made, how they were brought into the UK. And then some people in the UK still think that baked beans were invented in the UK. And then when you tell them it was invented in America, they're like, no, you're wrong. We invented beans. No.
Was it replaced on breakfast? Does it replace potatoes?
So your standard full English, you're going to have not toast, but fried bread, which is wonderful. You fry it in grease in a pan. You're going to have eggs. You might have some, you know, potatoes. Just going to be something more akin to home fries, like cubed up potatoes or something like that. Hash browns really haven't made the move yet. You're going to have beans. You're going to have sausage. You're going to have bacon, but thick, not crispy bacon, chewy bacon. And then if you're very lucky, you get black pudding, which is essentially blood and oats mixed together and fried. and it's fantastic.
Nice.
Oh, fuck, I love it. It's great. Great. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very
Eggs and Soldiers.
Do what? I'm sorry.
Do you have the Chicky Eggs and Soldiers?
You ever have yeah, one? Like yeah, you dunk your yeah, yeah, of course, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no, the yeah, you lost me at the blood pudding, but I'm sure it's delicious. Oh, you know, one day I'll try right? that.
Sausage, yeah, some more.
Yeah, I'll try the haggis one day as well, as long as with the blood pudding. So
blood and oats, yummy.
Yeah, just mix up some blood and oats, and you know, and yeah, going back to the serfdom days, you know, and yeah, that's all. We had a
you fry it. Makes everything good, Kev.
That's it. So what kind of jobs you? Yeah. And so what kind of jobs you have? Oh, as a teenager, what kind of work did you do? Like, what was your first kind of jobs over here? And when you got of age.
The first one was at a pizza place. I think that lasted about 3 days. as you do. Then of course the grocery store where, you know, I would volunteer to go and get the carts because it's nice outside. You enjoy it. And if you get them all in time, you can just go take a little nap on the side of the building. But I got into, I was never into theater stuff, but I started working at a theater as a stage electrician and a flyman, like on a counterweight, you know, fly system. And went from there, got into the entertainment business and made a short career of it. I did that for quite a while. And ended up, my last position, I was at the St. Louis Symphony, actually. I was the master electrician for the St. Louis Symphony for a few years.
Oh, right on. So what is a like a master? Like, are you just like running cabling? I mean, I think of an electrician as a guy that puts an outlet in my wall. Oh, okay.
I mean, there's that's part of things. I mean, it's low voltage electrical work, mainly lighting, things like that. And then obviously... as the industry's changed, projection and LED walls have become a big thing. Video came into it in a massive way as well. Projection mapping, stuff like that, like pixel mapping. It's interesting work. Way more of it is spent sitting at a computer than you would imagine these days. But it's fun, man. I got into some interesting situations more than once.
Yeah. Speaking of the LED panels, we'll be at, I'm assuming you guys will be talking about that later, but I'm assuming you'll be at PCA this year.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So Jessica and I can't wait to see the sphere and to see that the big LED panels. Yeah, have you seen it yet?
I have seen it. I haven't been inside it. But last year in July, I was out there, on the retail end of things. And a good friend of mine lives out in Vegas, and we went and walked around and checked it all out. Dude, it's cool as shit, man. It's really neat.
Oh, yeah. I want to see it up close, and then I want to see it, obviously, from a distance, you know, just so, you know, you can get that perspective. But yeah, $250,000 a month in electricity is what that bill is.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen that. Wow. I, you know what?
Oh,
I believe it. Absolutely. I can believe it.
Hell, oh yeah, 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 yeah. I was watching some things on it, and like, you know, it's shot in like 18K, you know, just that it has to have some crazy high resolution, some special cameras, you know, just to be able to blow everything up that big. And
oh yeah,
it's losing its ass in money, you know, just draining the bank. It hasn't made a I mean, it hadn't been open very long either. So
that U2 concert just didn't quite cover the bill.
Yeah, but London is supposed
fairness, to. Who wants to see U2 anymore?
That's it. London's supposed to be the next one. I guess that they have like 8 of them planned, but I guess London and Dubai, you know, are
and then they all link up like a Skylink situation, and
that'll be sign. I don't know. Yeah, that'll be cool. So before the show we were talking you were in the World Series. Do you have a ring?
No, God, no, no. Just running around on the field with cables and cameras and stuff, man.
Oh, so they don't give everybody a ring. So you weren't on the field like during the game. I mean, you're talking like on the field, like you weren't like in the outfield. Yeah, really?
No, like kind of right behind home plate.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's super, super cool. Just working the working the cameras, or just running the making sure the electricity's all good, or were you actually working those cool cameras?
A little bit of everything, but mainly running cable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not important enough to run a camera for something really important like that. I'm not that good of a camera operator, man.
Best seats to have.
His hands shake a little bit, you know.
Oh, great, yeah. Parking. Plus, I mean,
you can get in and out real easy, man.
Oh yeah, I was. That's what I go to some of these events, like cigar events, and I do take pictures. We're part of the media, but I'll go right up front. And they're like, "Oh, you got to park out there." I'm like, "Oh, I'm with media. I'm doing photos and stuff. I'll have like my drone with me, even if I'm not going to use it. Get parking right up front every single time." So
flawless.
That's it. So. Entertainment industry, is that where you got into cigars? How did you get, where's your cigar journey start at?
Hard to say, man. Honestly, hard to say. You know, I think it was one of those things, you know, you've always got a friend who, you know, oh yeah, you know, dad gave me this to try or something or whatever. And unlike everyone else who, you know, lit him up and accidentally inhaled it and hated it and threw it away. I'm like, all right, I quite like this. This is enjoyable. And I kind of went from there, man. And then, you know, did a little bit of travel, like in the Caribbean and Central American stuff, and really got into it. And then, especially in Europe, lounges are very, very different. And I did a lot of work in Europe as well, traveling there. And so, you know, it's a good place to meet people when you're hanging out, like, especially, you know, you get done with a show or something, you know, you get done at midnight. Well, there are lounges there open until 3 or 4 in the morning. You know, liquor laws are a lot more permissive. Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends where you are, obviously. And so, you know, you want to wind down. You don't want to go to like a loud bar or something. You know, you're trying to chill out. You're not trying to, you know, kind of get the party started. You've already had your party.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a good spot to meet people as well. So that's kind of where it started. And then I got obsessed, as you do.
Yeah, exactly. Because I did read somewhere, and it didn't elaborate. At one point, you were growing tobacco in St. Louis. And was this was this for yourself? Were you growing? Because it was a one-liner, and it did not expand.
It was for myself. Like, Reiner took that and ran with it. He just loved the concept of that, I think. Well, you can't see right now. I have an enormous cattle trough in my backyard. And I tried to see what I could do. And then the fermentation and curing process was trial and error, you know. And then, I tried my hand at rolling, and fuck, I'm bad at it. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm terrible. And it was god-awful. It was like smoking the essence of a skunk.
Yeah. Yeah, and then with a cow trough there, at best, you have like 3 cigars, you know, like enough tobacco.
Oh,
like,
no,
you
man, it's big. Right. There's a lot of, I grew a lot, man. It was decent amount, but yeah, I mean, we're talking, you might be able to roll a box worth.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. Still not a lot of trial and error, you know, on there. It's like, oh God, I'm getting, you know, but they're Puros, at least St. Louis Puros. That's the first time I ever heard. Yeah. St. Louis Puros, you know, so
cattle trough infusion.
Yeah.
That's right. A little bit of rust.
So you got obsessed. Like what were you smoking? I mean, you were just one of those smoking everything. You remember what some of your first, you know, like big brands were that you were smoking, or were they boutique cigar companies, or?
There was a little bit of everything for sure. You know, you don't know what you're going to enjoy, so you try a lot of stuff. At the time, I was getting a nice paycheck, so I didn't mind branching out and trying some really interesting stuff. You know, obviously I did the Cuban experiment, which, you know, depending on what year it is, that's either good or horrible.
Yeah.
I learned about that. There's stuff I've got that's still aging from 15 years ago that I'm not touching yet.
It's almost ready.
Ready with my sons in Congress, you know? Yeah. when I retire.
Well, so did you have any jobs in the tobacco industry before, like Lampert? Did you work at a lounge?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, I did. I worked at a store here in St. Louis for several years. Ended up buying for them, which was cool. That was a good way to meet people, man. That was an introduction to a lot of people. That's how I met Stefan. I don't remember where I tried one. Someone must have given me one, or I'd read about it and I decided to try some. And then the owner of the store went to the show that year, and I'm like, hey, listen, try this. We got to bring this stuff in. It's great. And bought it in and quickly became one of the top accounts in the country because, you know, if you got someone working there that really loves the product, it's easy to sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, over time, we developed a good relationship. And then he needed kind of a helping hand at Intertabak over in Germany. So he called me up. He's like, hey, come over to Germany. Help me out. I'm like, cool, man. Sounds good. And then shortly thereafter, it's like, well, you know, I got a position open for you if you want it. Like, yeah, cool, man. Sounds great. And it's been fun, man. It's been good.
How was Intertabak? Was that obviously your first trade show? Have you been to any other trade shows here, like versus TPE and PCA yet?
I have. I've been to them. Yeah. So it is
okay.
It is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole world is there. But it's more like TPE in that, just for cigars, obviously, there are, six different convention halls open. I mean, the place is enormous. There is one that's solely, you know, marijuana, and you walk in there and you can tell. There's cigarette companies around. There's all sorts of stuff. But the cigar aspect of it is very big, too. And what's cool about it is there are a lot of companies you see that don't exist in the U.S. I mean, they have zero presence. So I was walking around and checking stuff out when I had a minute, which that was, you know, few and far between. I'm like, who the fuck are these guys? All right. Yeah, sure. I'll try this. Sounds good. There was some interesting stuff, man.
Yeah, that's the one thing I always hear from people that go to Intertabak is all of these companies you've never heard of. He goes, there are some companies making some crazy good cigars, and they'll probably never they'll never wind up in the States. And I'm like, it's just, you know,
it's amazing.
I was so slammed. I didn't write anything down. I should have. There was one guy. It was Cameroon Tobacco, but he wasn't from Cameroon. The company was somewhere in Africa. I don't remember where. Somewhere you wouldn't expect, you know, like French Guiana or something. His cigars were fucking fantastic. I mean, they were fantastic. They were absolutely fantastic. If someone told me, you know, it cost $50, I'd think, yeah, deal, no problem. And, you know, there's a bunch of things like that.
Oh, yeah. It was actually, I know Bungani was, we had him, the owner of that, on the show. And like I said, you know, he had been overseas for a while before he, you know, before he made it over here. And you see a few companies that will eventually make it over here. Was there a language barrier? You know, because I know, kind of they speak a lot of German over there.
They tend to.
Yeah.
I mean, English is the predominant language because obviously you have people from, there's probably people from 140 different countries, you know. I speak just a little bit of German, just enough to make myself understood. It's probably like talking to a 3-year-old. And I can do the same. I can do the same in French. Like, you know, again, probably like talking to an infant, but again, you know, you understand when a 3-year-old talks to you, it's the syntax is all fucked up, but it's like, oh, you need to go to the bathroom. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. You know, that is an event that I would like to go to. And I know it's different than events over here. It's completely different. There's not a ton of media. It's not like a big party, I guess. You know, it's really a business.
We had some parties.
Thing. Oh, did you? Oh.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there were some good. There were some fun evenings, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, there were a couple of awards dinners, but they were fun. And then we did our best to make it a little party going on in our booth most of the time.
Oh, right on. So, so now you're, you know, you're with Lampert Cigars. You know, now they started off just overseas, right? Give us a little history, backstory of how Lampert Cigars started.
So, he was in Thailand and he was getting like custom shirts and suits made, and his thought was there should be a way to get custom cigars made easily. Because unless you know a blender, unless you know someone at a factory, that's just not something you can do. My neighbor is not going to be able to call someone up and be like, you know, I want something that smokes like X. They're going to go, cool, fuck off. So that was his initial concept. You know, and the idea being as well that, you know, if he could get close enough relationships with factories, he could do these in small enough runs where it becomes affordable for someone to do that, you know, or for a store to do that. And you got to remember tobacco taxes in Europe are heinous.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit of a different ballgame. So that was where the initial concept was. And he got hooked up with Nestor down at Tabacos de Costa Rica. And obviously, you know, some of the stuff he's blended is out of this world. It's fantastic. I mean, you enjoyed the Ocean Breeze. Well, that's one of his. He obviously, you know, he does the Atabey, the Byron, you know, Bandoleros, the Alfonso Selection, stuff like that. So that's where the company started. And obviously, Stefan found a market for this to the point where some of the blends ended up being introduced at regular production lines because there was a demand for them. And, you know, the Oro line, which is actually what I'm smoking right now. I'm smoking the Gatsby, which is the Oro line, but it's our Torpedo. That is definitely European palate cigar. You know, it's got that nice sweetness to it. It's a very balanced cigar. The tobacco's been aged for several years, so it's very smooth. You know, there's none of the harshness you might associate with stuff that's often more popular in the American market. So then he branched out to Nicaragua, and that's where Fabrica Agro Tobaccos came into the picture. And that's where the Azul, which I know Kerr's smoking the Azul right now, that's where that came onto the scene with the Rojo. And now the Morado as well, which if you guys smoke the Morado, I'm happy to send you one. It's what I've got on deck right now. It's our first foray into San Andreas. And then, you know, things progressed and we started working with KBF to do like the Family Reserve, and then started working more in the Dominican Republic. So, yeah, it really just started off as like, hey, how can I bring a custom project to market for people without them having to spend, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 on something?
Yeah, exactly. You talked about it's more of a European blend. Do you find it, because I'm hearing that more and more that the palate of the European market is changing. It's moving away from those lighter, creamier cigars, and they're wanting
more to new smoke world.
More of the new world. Well, have you been seeing that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, there's a very simple explanation for it: the price of Habanos.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, it went from, I mean, I can remember 6-7 years ago being in London, and you know, you could find your Trinidads and your Diplomaticos for, you know, $25, $30. You know, Cohibas were still going to be like $40 or $50, you know, the equivalent.
Yeah.
And now the last time I was there, I realized it was a special release, but the you know, the Cohiba 55 or whatever it was like £500. So what, that's, you know, the better part of $600 for one cigar. And we've seen the prices go worldwide. Obviously, they're pegged to Hong Kong now, which is a very, very expensive place to
live. Yeah, and they just announced like a 5% increase. I'm like, for what?
You just did a
500% increase, and now you're gonna have a, if you're gonna do that, don't make a press release saying that, you know, we're gonna increase them, whatever it was, 5%, 7%. I'm like, why would you tell anybody? You know, that's just pissing more people off.
Well, and after the hurricanes of the past couple of years as well, I saw something like only about 65% or 70%, however much it was, I'm paraphrasing obviously to some extent, of the land that's normally used for tobacco was actually planted this year. And the same happened last year. Last year, I think, was the lowest yielding crop they've ever had. And so get ready in a couple of years when those start getting rolled, you know, the dearth of cigars available. Get ready for probably, you know, a 20% increase on top. And the thing is, they are always sold. You know, people will pay that. So, of course, why would you not? I mean, you know, they're commies, but they still understand free market principles.
that you know, it just blows me away that people are still spending that. It actually blows me away that there are cigar nerds. I mean, we see them all the time. Karen and I are friends with people all over the world that, you know, they're smoking a lot of cigars, and it's like, and I know some of them do get them shipped in from the States so they can pay less taxes, but sure. Like, how do you know, like our friend Dez, you know, was smoking the J.C. Newman Quorum, you know, which here it's like a $2.50 cigar. I think he said he paid like $18 for it. And I'm like 18. And it's like, and he's in the UK. And I'm like,
UK tobacco taxes are brutal.
Yeah.
I just don't understand like how you can be a cigar guy or gal overseas. It's like, that is a chunk of money.
I think you kind of answered your own question there, though, to some extent, because, you know, we've seen the absurd prices that people are paying, but you're also seeing the prices that just everyday cigars are costing. Mm-hmm. So the people that can afford to spend that kind of money, these are not guys that are, you know, hey, I'm making six figures now. These are guys that are going, oh, yeah, you know, my bonus was seven figures. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a big deal. It's like, yeah, I'll just put this in the humidor in the back of my Bentley, you know?
Yeah.
Spending $2,000 on a box is not a concern.
Plus, I'm sure, you know, you get accustomed to living in that environment that's what you're accustomed to. It's like when we were in California and we stopped at a cigar bar, I was like, I can't remember what I bought. It was like, over here is like a $9 cigar. I think there was, you know, $15, $16. But the cigar bar is packed. Everybody was drinking. Everybody was smoking a cigar because, you know, if you don't know any different, you don't know any different. You know, you just adapt.
Exactly.
You know, and probably buy less cigar than we do.
Going to any lounge in Manhattan, it's full.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I guess so. Now Stefan said, you know, and I didn't know that's where the story was going, because usually when you hear I'm in Thailand in a bodega looking for a shirt, and it's like, oh, this is where the story gets good. You know, this is where it gets real good. And it's like, oh, then I want to learn how to make cigars. I'm like, that's not where I expected that to go.
I'm not gonna comment on what happened the day before, obviously.
Okay. So Stefan is from he's from Liechtenstein, right? Correct? Is that where I read somewhere?
The family is from Liechtenstein. He's Austrian. So I mean,
Austrian,
yeah,
okay.
They're right there on the border. Yeah.
They're right there. And so he is a doctor, Stefan Lampert, correct? What is he a doctor of?
He is a doctor of laws. He is a lawyer by profession.
Oh, they have doctors of lawyers? I didn't know that.
If you're a lawyer, you are a doctor of laws.
Okay, that seems a little shady. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just throwing that out there. You know, it's like you're on a plane. Is there a doctor in the house? I'm a doctor. Oh yeah,
don't touch him. Dude.
Yeah. That's it. So Stefan goes up to the guy. You have a fantastic lawsuit ahead of you. Here is my card. I'm sorry you're bleeding. Someone should do something about this.
That's funny.
Oh, I think he
Andrew's frozen.
Oh, there we go. You're back. You froze up for a second.
We're back. We're good.
Yeah, we're back. So it's a doctor of law. Is that what he still does full time? Yes, is he still okay? Yeah, because obviously nobody makes money in this industry. We've all learned that.
I mean, to an extent, certainly. I mean, I don't know exactly how much time he spends working on that. I know he is one of the busiest men I know. I mean, he is always doing something.
He looks like a fairly young man. How old is Stefan?
He is the same age as me.
Okay.
And it's very frustrating doing anything with him. I'm 6'1", 6'2". Most of the time I walk in somewhere and I'm like, all right, I'm the big guy. And then I stand next to that fucker. he's got to be 6'5", 6'6".
Oh, wow. Oh, really? I've only seen a few pictures. But yeah.
He's not quite as big as Omar, but he's not a small man.
Okay. That's why I love events. That's why I love going to, you know, PCA and even all these other events, so you can just gauge. You never gauge how big people are, and it's like, oh my god, you're right. Yeah, I was unprepared for how large Omar was. You know, I can tell you that
he is a big man, big heart too, lovely man.
Huge heart. So just like this is what your third or fourth month on the job. You're fairly fresh,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. We're in month four.
Yeah, you know, because I reached out to Craig, you know, because Craig got us hooked up. Craig Vanderslice, Cigar Craig.
I do.
Because Craig was smoking a cigar one night, and I'm like, it seems like every day it comes out, there's a new press release from Lampert. You know, it's like every single day I was reading something from Half Wheel, and I'm like, I go, Craig, what's going on with Lampert? I'm like, should I have them on the show? Is this a? And he's like, yeah, you should have them on. I'll get you hooked up. You know, but I remember reading that. Initial press release, because it was, you know, you were coming on board, and then it was also announced that, you know, Lampert would be taking over their own sales, you know, here in the U.S. Were you brought on board specifically to help facilitate that? And then how were the sales prior? How was that all being held or handled?
You dropped off for a second.
Were you brought on to help facilitate? Okay. So you're a little behind. So were you brought on board to help facilitate the sales, of you taking over your own sales, and how were the sales of Lampert handled prior to that, like press release?
There was a network of brokers, but Stefan didn't really have much of a hand in things day to day. And then, yeah, I was bought in to kind of be his right-hand guy, as it were. Crap.
We got you back. Yep, we got you.
Sorry. So there was a network of brokers, but Stefan didn't have much of a role day to day in this country. And then he bought me in to kind of be his right hand guy and things. And so I've established kind of my own network of guys. And, you know, we also use a network of brokers as well, kind of in-house brokers or in-house representation, as it were. And you know, the idea was just to try and really push the brand in this country. We had a good presence on the West Coast, certainly. But as I pointed out to Steph, I'm like, well, about 75% of the people in the U.S. live to the east of me here, right on the Mississippi River. And so that's really been my focus. Is things look pretty good out west. That's awesome. I got a great guy doing things out there. Let's really grow the brand out east. So I've got a guy up in the Northeast doing great work. Got a guy here in the Midwest doing great work. I did actually bring someone in the Pacific Northwest. I told him, bro, if you open two accounts, I'll be happy. Well, he's opened like six, so I'm already happy.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that's a rough one up there. I'm like, man, anything you do, I'm going to be happy. If you tell me I sold six cigars this week, I'm like, well, just smoke four out of the box. Hey, good job. Whatever. That's fine.
Yeah.
So no, things have been working well, man. Things have been growing very fast. So we are close to doubling the number of accounts we have in the U.S. from November until now. By PCA, we'll be at about twice what we were in November. We are in like 30, 31 states now. So my goal is I would love to be in all 50 states by the end of the year. I think that's optimistic. I'll try.
So especially when there are no roads anywhere, everybody's got to fly little planes or dog sleds everywhere. So that one's a little rough. Now, what about overseas? Since he, you know, that's where he's based. Are you real big overseas?
Yes.
Bigger than you are here.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, this is obviously this is by far and away the biggest market in the world. And so there's going to be a massive focus on this country. But yeah, we are in now 25 countries worldwide, 26 countries worldwide. I mean, we're in Europe, all over Europe. We're in the Far East, in Japan, in Taiwan, I believe in China too. So, you know, we're all over the place, Korea.
Do they still call it Europe.
And,
do they still call it the Far East?
Good question. The Southeast Asia. Let's work with that. Let's work with Southeast Asia.
It's really far east of me, man. No, that's it. You say the Far East, and I think of around the world in 80 days. You know, I'm thinking of, you know, like the 1800s.
We're huge in the Orient.
That's it. Now, do you have a counterpart overseas, or is that Stefan your counterpart over there?
Stefan, and then Dave, whose last name escapes me right now. Dave handles a lot of stuff overseas, and then Stefan does quite a lot of it personally as well. And then obviously, I mean, there are some of these guys that I know as well, especially the guys that opened up. What you got to remember is in a lot of countries, you'll work with one distributor. You'll rarely sell to individual stores. Instead, there'll be maybe one, two, three companies that distribute cigars in that specific country. So like the guys over in Greece, like George and his brother, really lovely guys. Like I got to know them. We got our guys in Scandinavia, which is the same thing. There's just one or two distributors up there for a good reason. You know, a cigar like this costs about, you know, $50 in Scandinavia. you know, you've got all of about a month where it's not sub-zero. So a lot of short Robustos, man. A lot of short Robustos.
Yeah. Now, how often does Stefan get over here into the States or even to the factories? Is he
fairly regularly? He is in Panama right now. He was in Costa Rica just the other day. He was in Nicaragua two or three weeks ago. I know he was in the Dominican back in January or November. I can't remember. Wow. I was supposed to go down to the Dominican, but it was one of those things. My son's fairly young still, and he just started at his new school. I'm like, I had about 10 days on the road, and I'm thinking, I probably shouldn't disappear for, you know, 17 or 18 days at a time. He will forget what I look like behind the cloud of smoke that daddy exists in, you know? So, he's all over, and he's spending a lot of time in Central America these days too.
So is that just, you know, developing new blends, obviously quality control, checking up on what he's got. So, what about you? So, have you been to any of the factories yet? I mean, I know you've just started, and you missed that one trip down the DR. So
not yet, man, not yet. So that's all coming up. We're working on some new stuff. I'm not going to give anything away, but we're always working on new stuff. You know, good to have things in the bag. But the only problem is me and him have a really similar palate. So it's like, well, what might people think of this? We think it's great.
Yeah. No, that's it. I mean, which is good, I guess. You know, you're not always fighting over a
sure, brand, exactly.
But, you know, so I mean, was there anything you brought over from the entertainment industry? Because the entertainment industry very similar to the cigar industry. You're both trying to give the end consumer an enjoyable experience, whether it be a show, absolutely, a baseball game, everything else. Is there anything else that you're able to bring over, you know, from your experience into the sales side? Or
definitely into the sales side. When I do events, I try my best to be entertaining. I did an event a few weeks back at a friend's place. That's why I was down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, down at Scenic City Cigars. If you're in southeastern Tennessee, it's a great spot. But you know, most events last, what, you know, 3 or 4 hours. Must have been there, God, 9 hours. It was one of those things. It's like you just make friends, you know.
Yeah,
and that definitely helps. Coming from a background where you're working with different people every single day, you have to learn how to get along with people. You have to learn how to be affable, you know. But in terms of in terms of things I've been using and kind of taken from elsewhere, it's actually other reps, other guys I've met and really respect. My whole life have hated the hard sell. I don't do the hard sell. You know, yeah. Oh, if you buy, you know, X many of this, you can make another $100. No, man, that's not. This is not a one-time deal. You know, this needs to be a long-term relationship. So it's a partnership thing. And I realize it sounds cliched, but it's true. You know, the accounts, the stores, the owners, the managers that enjoy the cigars we make and, you know, support us, I will bend over backwards to support their stores. I will bend over backwards to support them, you know, because it is a partnership and we are a smaller company. So, there you go. We're back. We are a smaller company. So, you know, there is a lot of hand selling involved in the stores, you know, until someone smokes it and goes, hey, shit, I really like this. This is good. You know, you're not walking in. It's not Davidoff. It's not Padron. It's not Fuente where, you know, you're every guy going to the golf course says, hey, you got such and such. No, you have to work with people and have a good relationship with them to the point where they're going to walk into the humidor and say, have you tried this? I think you'll like it. Based on what you smoke, I think you're going to enjoy this.
Yeah, when you're definitely the like you said, the relationship with the tobacconist and the owner, and they have to buy into it and introduce people to the brand, because like you said, when you go in there and you see the usual suspects, you know, all great brands, you know, you can get lost real quick. I did want to ask something, Kevin, if you don't mind. I did see on the website, and I don't know, you said you've been here for several months now, but I do see a Lampart rum.
Yes, now, sir.
Is that outside the U.S. only, or is that available here? What came first, the rum or the cigars, the chicken or the egg?
So the cigars came first. The rum came shortly after. It is made in Panama. We have the 7 year and the 12 year, aged in bourbon barrels or finished in bourbon barrels. No sugar added. It's all natural. It is available in the California right now. It's distributed. We're at Del Mesa Liquor and Total Wine, which you can order, I believe, online. It depends which state you're in.
Yeah, depends on what state.
We are working to get things going in. We're going to get things going in Missouri. The one of the guys that works for me, he was in the liquor industry for a long time. He had his own tequila brand, so he knows the guys to talk to. So I know nothing about the liquor industry.
Right.
So, you know, I did some bartending at some shitholes, and that's about as much as I know. And that was, I could pour it or I could open it for you. You want a martini, go down the street. I'm working with another guy to get distribution going in Tennessee. And then hopefully after that, potentially Illinois. A good friend of mine is in the liquor business in Illinois. He's not going to put anything else on his plate right now. But when they're all settled, hopefully we will be in Illinois too. And that's slow. It turns out something interesting I've learned. In Europe, setting up alcohol distribution is incredibly simple, whereas tobacco is incredibly complicated. In this country, it is the exact opposite. And my thinking on this is, well, we did come from puritanical roots, so I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting an alcohol distribution set up is quite complicated, whereas, you know, I now have a Nevada OTP license, and it took me about 15 minutes.
Exactly. You know, like I said, you want some tobacco, everybody can have it. Some liquor. No,
exactly.
Yep.
No, you got to jump through hoops for that. Coming from the entertainment industry, I mean, everything is that you have these shows, you have these games, you have these events, everything's fast paced, you know, everything happens quickly. Oh, yeah. Now you come to the cigar industry where things do not happen quickly. Is that taking some time? Yeah. Is that taking some time to get used to, of nothing happening for periods of time?
I mean, it's okay. You know, this kind of harkens back to what we were talking about, a partnership where everyone has to be comfortable. You know, first of all, I mean, when I open up an account, I don't expect someone to bring in every facing we have. That would be absurd. And I don't expect them to be spending a huge amount of money, but they're still spending money. You know, they have to be comfortable with me. They have to know that I'm going to support the product. I'm going to support their store. So yeah, we got to get to know each other, and that's okay. I mean, like I say, you know, I was on the retail end of things for several years. And yeah, I mean, if I really enjoyed something, I thought it was good. I'm like, yeah, I can sell this. Cool. But if the guy was an asshole, it was kind of hard to do business with them, you know? And yeah, it might take a while if it happened at all. You know, yeah. If it's something fantastic, I'm like, done. Yeah, let's do it. If it was good, but I didn't have faith in their ability to support it or support the store, that's a much slower process. You know, talk to me in 3 months.
Yeah, you know,
so, yeah, it takes a little bit of getting used to.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's definitely tough, you know, because, you know, you obviously want your cigars to sell. You don't want them sitting on a shelf any either, because I've heard that conversation, someone being in a lounge, yep. Like, oh, those that box has been sitting there forever. Like, nobody's touched it. You know, it's like I don't know if I want to smoke it, you know. So but it all harkens back to what you said before. You know, when you ran a lounge, you know, it's pushing that cigar. There's no knowing more about the cigars, because we're seeing, it just seems like every year that goes by, I'm seeing less and less, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say more knowledgeable, you know, cigar staff, but they're not go-getters. You know, it's just there's nobody helping you out. You know, there's no people that don't know a lot about cigars working at these places. And
you get a lot, you know, of, you just wonder how, you get a lot of, hey, let me know if you need anything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Just on the phone.
Yeah. And that's awful. Especially if you go in somewhere with an enormous humidor, you know, there's a million different things in there and you may not have tried, you know,
yeah, I know,
half of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is a conversation I've had with people before. I won't name names because they're much bigger movers and shakers than I am. But yeah, I have definitely had the conversation before where there are absolutely two kinds of stores. You know, one of the best accounts we have is a store, Humidor of Lyle, Westmont, up in Chicago. Okay, these guys do huge amount of business. Fantastic store, huge mm-hmm. humidor, a lot of selection. Every time I've seen him go into the humidor with someone, every time someone comes through the front door, he's going into the humidor with them and he's looking around because he knows what his customers like. He knows, you know, what they might want to try. He knows what their budget is. You know, he knows his people. That's why he's very successful, because he goes and he works with people. And I've been in places before as a customer, as well as, you know, doing other things, going to events and stuff. Yeah, there's some guy sitting behind the counter. He's got his coffee mug. You know, and he's got his cigar in his mouth, and you know, you walk in. Hey, how's it going? Humidor's that way.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I am now lighting up the Morado, by the way, which is so it's similar makeup to the Azul that you're smoking. We use a lot of Condega in this, but instead of that Habano wrapper. We use a San Andreas wrapper on here, and it is like chocolate covered raisins.
I can imagine, because I just lit up the Ocean Breeze, one that Kevin's smoking right now. I finished the Azul, mm-hmm. and I and Kevin and I talk about this. I share with him all the time. I go back and forth with Habano wrappers. Like, I've had one too many Habanos that are just too sour. Very off-putting. This, when you said earlier about going for a like there's a European blend, there is smoothness and that aged tobacco and some cedar that kind of is reminiscent of a Cuban type blend, but enough spice in there that's not killing my palate and is just always engaging. It is such a great balance of those flavors where it's smooth but yet spicy. And I can't imagine San Andreas wrapper on it.
Yeah. Now, so which scar? I did read, I think on your website or somewhere else, Indiana Ortiz blended one of your, which one did she blend or did she blend a line?
The Azul. That's, that is okay. Absolutely, her blend and, fantastic job. And like I said, with the Murado, we use a very similar makeup, but that different wrapper on there at same factory. Yeah, that's it's so what I love, especially with that factory is, you know, most factories in Nicaragua, you're using a lot of tobacco from Esteli, you're using a lot of Jalapa. I really love the Condega tobacco. I think it has that slight natural sweetness, makes it easier to blend with because, okay, now you have that pronounced, like that's you talk about the cedar, like that sweet woodiness, mm-hmm. which is just such a pleasant flavor. There's no even, it doesn't matter what you like. Doesn't matter what you enjoy. That's a pleasant flavor for everyone. Mm-hmm. No one's gonna hate that. And then from there, you don't have to make that many changes. You know, you're just changing the wrapper, you're changing the binder to create something very different. So like I say, with the Murado, with that San Andreas wrapper, you get in that chocolatiness and just that mm-hmm. little extra hint of spice, nothing yeah. crazy, you know, not overwhelming by any stretch of the imagination. And it goes from that like sweet woodiness to far more of that kind of fruity, you know, like I say, like a chocolate covered raisin. I mean, that's how I always describe this.
Now you, how many factories are you guys working with?
Currently four.
So is how, I mean, I know Stefan, you know, that it's his brand, you know, and especially when you get someone like Indiana and then her dad, Omar, you know, blending cigars, you probably don't have to give them a lot of input, but how much input does Stefan have? Does he go in there? Is he, you know, is he tweaking or is he, you know, just, I'm looking for this, you know, how much input is he having on the blends?
Oh, yeah. A lot of input. Absolutely. A lot of input. So, I mean, with, you know, with any kind of blending session, you know, you're going to describe, you know, roughly what you're looking for, you know, okay, I want this to be, you know, full bodied and I want this to be peppery and spicy. Okay. You know, here are, I don't know, you know, 10 blends to try, you know, tell me which of these you like. And then we go from there. You know, it's a long process and he's definitely involved. And then, yeah, going forward, I'm definitely going to be involved, especially as we try new projects, you know. Yeah, so there's always stuff to play with.
Yeah, let's go through your line. I know you've talked a couple, you know, a little bit about the cigars. Let's go through your lineup and then tell us like what, you know, where, which factory those are made at. You know, people may have a favorite factory in a favorite region. The Oro line, who's making that?
I think I lost you guys for a second there. You guys still there?
Okay. Yeah. We're still here. So who's making the Oro line?
So that is made at Tobaccos de Costa Rica. Same as the Ocean Breeze. Those are both made there. Our new Limitada, which I'm going to do a pitch. Are you ready? Will be available in a soft release at a handful of stores nationwide. It is currently at Small Batch and Luxury Cigar, Luxury Cigar Club. And then that is going to roll out to a few really close accounts over the next week or so. And then that will be a PCA release. That okay. is also made nice. At Tobaccos de Costa Rica. That's a really interesting one. It's a four-country blend. It's a little more of a powerhouse than we normally make. It's not an ass-kicker by any stretch of the imagination. But it's definitely kind of that medium-full kind of blend. It's going to be nice.
So that and the Ocean Breeze made at the same factory. And then in case people maybe tuned in late, tell us a little bit about the Ocean Breeze as well.
The Ocean Breeze is such a unique cigar, as you guys are learning. Did you pick up that little saltiness?
I picked up a salted buttered popcorn. That's what I told Jessica last night.
That is a fantastic description.
Yep.
Yes. So we use a lot of tobacco that was, and I thought this was a gimmick. I swore it was a gimmick, and it's not. It is cured. It is cured right next to the ocean. And it picks up that saltiness on the breeze. Tobacco does. Like, they're, you know, literally, it's a little salty. Hence the ocean breeze.
I would have said that was a gimmick as well. You know, but
I absolutely thought it was. I truly believe it. Yeah.
But that's what I got out of the cigar before you said that. So yeah, that definitely makes sense.
It's so unique. I can't think of any cigars, at least not in my regular rotation, that have that salty element to them. You know, I think some people sometimes confuse like acidicness with saltiness, but it's not the same at all. I don't like too much of an acidic taste in a cigar.
I thought it had, when I first smoked, I thought it had like a mineral. I'm a lack of good terminology.
Oh, sodium is a mineral.
But I thought it had a little bit. Thank you, freaking. Where's my Sheldon mask? A non-salt mineral, but it had like at first that's what I tasted. Then I was like, hold on for a second, it's not, because usually when I get that flavor smoking a cigar, it can be off-putting. It can be a little too much. And as I started smoking it, like Kevin said, I'm like, okay, this is intentional. This is complementing the cigar, and it is more salty than anything else. And it didn't take very long for my brain to catch on that it is still mineral, but it is more of a salty variety of mineral.
So up next we have the Lampert 1675. Let's start with the 1675. What does 1675 represent on the band?
So the different bands are heraldic crests, so from Stefan's family, and they were given. I mean, at the time it was the church that gave them. I guess, you know, at the time they would have been part of the Holy Roman Empire. For those of us into our European history. And so prominent families that, you know, were involved in certain artisanal crafts, things like that, which, meaning back then, it wasn't just, you know, $800 cheeses and $500 jars of honey that are artisanal individuals made. You know, those crests, those heraldic crests were given to the family. And Stefan can tell you more about what the heraldry actually means. I know there's the lamb and what have you, but those are important to his family. And so that's the Bado, the Rojo, and the Azul. And those are all made at Agro Tobaccos in Nicaragua. And that's, I wouldn't say we have the core line. Because obviously, I mean, you know, everything kind of moves as it does. It's just for different tastes. I think nationwide, the Oro line, however, from Tobaccos de Costa Rica, is probably our best-selling line, which we have in the three different sizes, you know, in the Gatsby, which is the Pyramid, the Don Patron, which is the Toro, and then the El Gringo, which is the Robusto.
All right, yeah, I was wondering if the 16, you know, so... I'm Googling, trying to figure out what these names. I'm like, then I'm like, found the Swedish invasion of Brandenburg in 1675. And I'm like,
well, you got to know about that.
Yeah. I'm like, I think he's Swedish and they lost their asses in that war from what I read. So that can't be it, you know? So, you know, so that made sense, you know, the Lampert 1593. Now that I'm assuming comes back to the Trier witch trials of 1593, as famous witch trials. A lot of people burned at the stake more than here in the U.S. That I'm assuming I am also wrong about that as well.
Well, that's where they got the crest from. They were excellent witch burners.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. I didn't look closely at the band. I, you know, to see if there was a, yeah.
A little witch.
Yeah.
Great at pyre building. Great at pyre building.
Yeah. That's it. It's what your family known for. They come from far and wide. Yeah.
So the line you're referencing is the Oscura, which we've not touched on, actually. And that's made at the Ventura factory in the Dominican. And that's interesting because, you know, it's mainly a Dominican blend. We use the same San Andreas wrapper, but with an Indonesian Sumatra binder. And you either love or hate Sumatra. I like it. People always will ask, you know, what does Sumatra taste like? And I hearken back to a guy I used to work for, a good friend of mine, Tim Aiken. And he goes, Sumatra tastes like jungle. I'm like, yes, it does. Sumatra tastes like jungle. It's, you know, got that vegetativeness. You know, it's like collard greens. I don't know. That's maybe a better way of putting it than jungle. But, you know, you smoke Sumatra and you can just taste like, okay, this is definitely grown amongst the, you know, the my son knows the name of the plants that grow from the canopy of the jungle, but you get what I'm going for here. Mm-hmm. It's got that vegetative note to it, certainly. And that really changes up the Oscura. It's our most full bodied blend, but it's got a nice sweetness to it as well. So I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll be interested to try that, especially coming from the Ventura effect. So who's the blender on that? Is it Henderson or is it the old man?
That is a Stefan question. I was not involved with that. I don't actually know who blended it specifically with.
Okay, yeah,
Did you lose?
Now we got you. Yeah, because they definitely blend. You know, it's strange. It's not strange because they're two separate people, but they blend cigars two completely different ways. You know, between Henderson and his dad, and so yeah. If you'll have to ask Stefan and then and message me back on that one, and I'll be interested to see. I'm gonna try it either way because it's coming from
for sure.
that factory. But yeah, I'll be interested to see who blended that one. So who what are you smoking the most?
We have the Family Reserve.
Yeah. Oh yeah okay, the Family Reserve. Yeah, we'll go. Well, that one's up next.
And that is a Kellner blend that is out of KBF. It is a beautiful, beautiful, buttery, very creamy Connecticut. I shouldn't say this out loud. It's an $18. It's an $18 white label is what it is. it's what it tastes like to me. You know.
Well, especially so when you talk about $40,
you can spend $18 and enjoy it.
Mm. Well, especially when you talk about the person that made it. You know, it's like. Everybody knows, everybody knows what Kellner is capable of producing, and that's not surprising. He's working with such a small blend, but you know, when you talk about like some of these, it's like how did Stefan get in, you know, with Kellner? You know, it's like, you know, just on his own, and it's just like, you know, and you know, picking that, you know, I don't know, you're right place at the right time, I guess, but.
He's an affable guy. He's easy to like. So yeah, it's I think that goes a long way, right? Personality goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And when you walk into the room as, you know, a 6.5 foot tall Austrian, people probably have preconceptions, and then they get to know him, they're like, oh, he's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, he's lovely. Yeah. So
he is.
So how are you, I mean, other than your brokers, your sales staff, you know, how are you spreading the good word of Lampert? How are you getting the cigars in people's mouths? You know, or you guys have lots of events going on, you know, are you doing, I know you said, you know, you spent some time on the road. Are you out there doing the events as well?
Absolutely. I do events. I try, you know, about a week a month, I try and get on the road, I mean, a lot of word of mouth. My sales team is doing a fantastic job. I mean, they are doing a great job. Obviously, I don't have people all over the country. So it's a lot of work on the phone, too, man. You know, there is an aspect of that. The guys at Saltlift do a really good job, too. And part of it is social media is great for this. Mm-hmm. You know, you put something on your Facebook. You were smoking the Ocean Breeze. I think I had like, you know, what do you call it on Facebook? Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like three different people. And one of whom said, God, I'd love to have this in the store in my town. I said, well, I actually happen to have, you know, a guy in the area. I'll have him stop by. Done. Perfect. You know, he goes, oh, shit. Yeah. You know, like the guys that own the store tried it. They really like it. I'm like, Fantastic. Look at that. New account. You know, moving on up. And, you know, they already have customers that enjoy it. So that's fantastic. You know, he's going to spread the word in the lounge, too. You know, if things go well, I would love to go out there and do an event with them. You know, it's that kind of thing. And that's part of it, too, is, you know, my job really is to support the brand. You know, so, you know, if a store brings it in and, you know, hey, people, you know, people are liking this, you know, it's doing okay. All right, man, you've got a few guys that really like it. Let's, you know, let's have me drive out there, fly out there, whatever. I'll come and do an event at your store. I like to hope I'm a fairly likable, affable individual. I think the cigars speak for themselves. And then you put it in, you know, 100 people's hands that evening. Hey, you know, 20 of them become regular Lampert smokers. That's fantastic. That's great.
Yeah, that's all. That's so always that's, great. That's, you know,
the way.
And yeah. Right, so and then, you know, and then you talked about the lounges that you're in. Will you be updating your website soon to have a lounge finder here in the U.S.? Because I was on it, and the only, you know, everything's in the U.S.
Lounge finder in the U.S.
Is there? I only saw U.K. And then when I tried to hunt U.S., I didn't find anything.
So you got to, yeah, it could be better. You got to basically drag your cursor over, bring up the U.S. on the map on the screen, and then you can search in the U.S.
Okay, I typed in my zip code.
It's not as
and it didn't bring anything up near me. So okay.
So I think you have to be like centered on the U.S. and if you type in your zip code, yeah.
Okay. So something to work on with some new photos.
Florida's definitely a market we really want to grow in. Obviously, you've got one of your sponsors here. God, I'd love to be in Corona. Beautiful, beautiful lounges. Yeah, we are in a few places in Florida. So you'll be able to find some somewhere.
So right on. So anybody looking, you got to drag over and then, you know, in the U.S., you know, so then you can type in your zip code. What do you, I know at the beginning you had said, you know, by the end of the year, you'd love to be in all 50 states. Any other goals, like, you know, being, you know, you're only a couple months into this, any like lower tier goals, you know, that you want to accomplish?
Honestly, I mean, in terms of goals, that was kind of an outlandish one. You're right. But you know, hey, we're getting there.
Yeah.
I think we are a brand where the quality kind of speaks for itself. And as someone commented on your Facebook page, you know, and as you pointed out, like, we're starting to get a lot more mentions in Half Wheel. You know, you go on Instagram now and you see people quite rarely stars. And that's my goal, is to just continue that growth and help the stores that have really supported us, help them grow as well. You know, and really kind of connect with their customers. You know, I was talking to an account up in Chicago about doing an event, you know, coming up later this year. And he said, well, will Stefan be available? I said, I don't know. And he goes, well, you know, customers need to get to know you as well. You know, you're a likable guy. I think they'll love you. And I mean, that's just part of it. It's like, you know, he's a busy guy. This is also my job, to grow the brand in this country. And I got to get my face out there. I want people to recognize me, not for any kind of self-aggrandizing reason. I want them to be able to say, oh, that's the Lampert guy. Hey, let's talk to him about what's coming up in the next, you know, in the next 6 months, in the next year, you know?
Yeah, plus it gets a little it gets a little expensive for him to fly over to do an event. You gotta sell a lot of you gotta sell a lot of cigars at that event to pay for that plane ticket and hotel and food, and that's definitely a master carton of cigars you got to order, you know. So Care,
always available, sold by the master.
Yeah, Care, any final questions you've had for Andrew before we let him go for the night?
No, I think that it smoked both of these cigars. And again, thank you for the cigars, and really exceptional.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll send you guys a couple more things too.
100%. I mean, I was chatting with Kevin about it, and I was like, man, these great morning cigars, had it in the evening. So well done. Just keep up the great work. These are some fantastic blends. I mean, it really – Both blends, I think, would appeal to newer smokers and also smokers who are experienced. They're engaging, they transition, they're not overbearing when it comes to the pepper. I think they have some smoothness to it that allows you to really enjoy it with whatever you want to pair it with. So really, really nice cigars.
So right on, Andrew.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for coming on and spending an hour and a half of your Monday night with us. We definitely appreciate that. And hopefully maybe we'll plan on it closer to the end of the year. We'll see how we'll have you back on. We'll see how the goals are going. Maybe we'll have Stefan on with you, and then have you.
Absolutely. I'd love it.
Be another show. So right on. I'm going to pull you down, hang out for a few minutes, and we'll end the show here, and then we'll bring you back on. So we'll see you back in a moment. All right, everybody, start typing in the word cigar, CIGAR, for the Tapping Ash and Taking Names giveaway presented by Amendola Family Cigars. The winner tonight is going to receive a 5-pack of cigars from Lampert Cigars. And while everybody's typing that in, let's hear a word from our partners over at Corona Cigar. Looks like all the comments started coming in. The only people that can't win tonight: Steve Toth, Dan Grillo, and Johnny Bravo. So let me go and share this screen. Kara, let me know when you can see that.
I can see, Kev. I can see.
All right, let's start collecting the comments here. All right, D-Boyd 2712, send me your info, Kevin at cigarprop.com. Next week, we welcome Dr. Oscar Rodriguez of GTO Cigars. We're going to welcome him back to the show. He is now retired.
Yeah.
He owns his own factory. We're going to hear all about what's going on with Doc Rodriguez's life, the new factory, the new blends. And it's going to be a super awesome
cigar man. He is retired from the military and traveling all from hospital to hospital.
That's it, you know. And man, so I'm sure he's it's probably busier than he's ever been, you know.
I'll tell you what, from COVID until he retired, that man was traveling from hospital to hospital, just putting in crazy times. He's a doctor, you know. He's a doctor. He's
he's not some fake lawyer doctor.
Some fake lawyer doctor. I didn't say that, but he's emergency medicine, critical care. I mean, he does it all, and
a military doctor.
Military,
on top of that. So.
So he was cranking during COVID. I mean, it was horrible.
Oh yeah, it's now he's just busy in a new light. So. All right, make sure you're following Cigar Prop. Producer Jessica, I know she couldn't be here tonight. She got home late from Corona Cigar. I heard her come in here a little bit ago. Caribbean Hunt Day. Yeah, where is Jessica at? You got that pull?
Too late. I fumbled that.
Too late. So Cigar Prop producer Jessica, right. Caribbean Hunt Day of Stogie Road Cigars, Lampert Cigars, all the clickable links to follow their social medias are in the video description if you're watching this, the podcast description if you're listening to this in the future. Also, the social media links for all of our partners that make this show happen each and every week. J.C. Newman Cigars, Cigar Medics, Amendola Cigars, We Are the Muscle, Illusione Cigars, Deep in Flavor, Deep in Your Mind, Corona Cigar, and of course, Drew Estate and Experience Acid. Care, leave us with the final words of the evening.
Final word of the evening. Life is short. Grab a buddy and enjoy a cigar.
Right on. We'll see everybody next week. Andrew, we'll see you back here in a second.